I have been tremendously impacted by a particular truth from the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles, do you want to turn to Luke chapter 19? And verse 10. And it's possible that there's some people here that aren't familiar with the Word of God. And so Luke is the third book of the New Testament.
So Lucas is the third evangelist in the New Testament.
And in verse 10, this is what it says. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save. I was interested to read recently that in the year 1900, there were 1,000 organized belief systems in this world. These were groups of people that got together and decided on a particular belief system. Hinduism was one of those.
Hinduism was one of those.
Islam was another.
Islam was another.
And there were 1,000 of them. I was just reading that in the year
2005,
today, there are 10,500 belief systems in this world. Man's desperate attempt. Knowing that there's something beyond themselves. Man's desperate attempt to get themselves in some kind of a pleasing position. With God or the gods and whoever he or she may be. Every other belief system but Christianity leaves man with the responsibility of seeking the greater one. And Christianity is the only belief system where we have this wonderful truth that God is the one that seeks us. And that is an amazing truth. This is not a truth that is introduced to us here in Luke chapter 19. As you look at the Word of God, you see right from the very beginning a seeking God. Right from the very beginning, we have a man and a woman by the name of Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, it tells us that they sinned against God. That their eyes were opened. They knew that they had sinned. And they were afraid and tried to hide. And what do we read? That God was the one that came and sought them out. A seeking God. Now this couple eventually ended up outside of the garden. And God provided some instruction for them and how they could come to
him.
And in chapter 4, they have two boys, Cain and
Abel.
And it tells us in Genesis chapter 4 that Abel was one of those boys that came God's way. And God accepted his offering. But Cain came in rebellion against God.
Men Cain kom I upprörelse till Gud.
And he became very angry because God rejected his offering. He did not come the way God asked him to come.
Han kom inte mat han Gud ängstiga skulle komma på.
God has the right to tell us how we can come to him.
Gud har rätten till att säga oss när kvän hot vi kan komma till hans sida.
Abel came that way. But Cain did not. He is now angry. And again, God comes to him. And he says, Cain, why are you so angry? And you know something? Cain didn't change his mind. In fact, he was so angry he killed his brother. And he hides his brother in the ground.
Och han fjäder botcha sin här hjörne.
And again God comes to him.
Och så kommer efter god till hans
herre. Seeks him out.
Och han letar efter honom.
And says, Cain, where's your brother?
Och säger, Cain, var är brodern?
You know, all the way through the scriptures we see.
Alla vägen genom skrifterna så kör vi.
We see God seeking out man.
Så kör vi god letar efter människan.
And that is a tremendous truth.
Och till en underfull sanning.
I'm here today to tell you something. I am so glad that God sought me out. That he found me. And I'm a child of God today. That is rejoicing in the new position he's placed me in. As his own son. I want to tell you something that happened about a year ago. Sheila and I have the opportunity because of our ministry.
Sheila, I had möjlighet vekna ferande tjänst åkare
to travel around this old world. We actually come from near Toronto, Ontario.
Vi kom upprunaliga från grannlandet Toronto.
But we are hardly ever home.
Men vi är sällan hemma.
And we're usually somewhere in this world.
About
a year ago, we were traveling from Thessalonica in the northern part of Greece. That's the town that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament wrote two letters
to.
There were a bunch of Christians there about 2,000 years ago. And we were there in Thessalonica for a day or two. And then we were to fly to Athens. It's only about an hour's flight. And I desperately wanted to see Athens. Yes, the Apostle Paul ministered there.
Yeah, Paulus, han virkade här i Aten.
But 2,000 years ago, he was up on Mars Hill. And he was challenging the Athenians, these Greeks. And telling them the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you why I wanted to see Athens. Because 400 years before Paul, there was a man that lived there. A man that was also challenging the young people of the day. His name was Socrates. Have you heard of him? You've heard of Socrates? He lived 2,400 years ago.
Han levde för 400 år sedan.
And this was his world. He was born in Athens. And he lived over 50 years of his life in Athens. Now let me describe the world that he lived in. In Athens, you'll know the fact that the Acropolis sits there. With this temple on top called... And it's sitting up on top there. And they say that there were 30,000 images and gods just on the Acropolis around the Parthenon.
Acropolis were 35,000 gods.
That the roads going into Athens were lined with gods. They said it was easier to find a god in Athens than a person. In fact, 400 years later, when the Apostle Paul arrived there,
Paulus apostel kom här 417,
he was shocked by the idolatry. And this man Socrates lived in the midst of all of that idolatry.
Socrates bjöd mitt i alla dessa avgudadyrkanerna.
And he started challenging the young people.
Han började så att bjöa unga personer av.
And started telling them about the one true God.
Och började säga till dem från den ena sanna gode.
I thought it was interesting to read that some of the early church fathers.
Jag hade råvärt att läsa att de första troarfäderna.
They believed that Socrates was a believer, just like Abraham was a believer. And he was telling these people to come and trust the true God. he eventually was arrested for that. And he was sentenced to death. And we know the story of how he took hemlock, the poison, drank the poison. It was interesting, just a few weeks ago, we have a son that lives in New York City. And while we were there in New York City, we wanted to go to the Metropolitan Museum. And we walked in through the door of that museum. And the first painting you see is the painting of Socrates.
It's
interesting to see. Socrates was a thinker.
Socrates was a thinker.
And one day, this is what Socrates said. Are you following this? Are you looking at me? I don't want you to miss this. Because Socrates hit the nail on the head. This is what he said. It may be that a holy God can forgive sin. But I don't know how. You see, Socrates is thinking. And he's thinking that if God is holy, then holiness can only accept holiness. And if God is absolutely holy, then how can he ever forgive sin without jeopardizing his holiness? And that is a profound statement and a profound question. In fact, his statement changed my life. Because if holiness can only accept holiness, then a holy God can never accept me or you. So we arrived in Athens. And we have spent some days there. And has anyone here ever been to Athens? Okay. This is what it looks like. Let me describe it for you. There's the ruins of the old market. And then there's the new market that is set on the ruins of the old market. So you've had the old ruins.
So there's the gamla lautna.
A modern little street. And then some sidewalks. And then some shops. And those shops are filled with heads. Plato and
Platon.
All these different philosophers.
And
if you want to bring home a head this big, you can get it there. And it was our last evening in Athens. And I said to Sheila, let's go to the Plaka, which is the old market. Because it would be really neat if we could get a head of Socrates and bring that home. And what I'm going to tell you now truly happened. If you go to that part of Athens, you pick up your feet and the crowd will carry you along. That's how many. And so it's very busy in the market. And Sheila and I ended up in this little shop. And there were two ladies in there. And I asked them, do you have a head of Socrates? And she brought out one that was about that big. And I said, no, I want something a bit bigger than that. So she's looking around. So she pulls a nice head of Plato off the shelf. And she says, here, Plato, look at this head. This is a nice head. Why don't you get this one? I said, no, it's got to be Socrates. So then she comes out with another one. Well, look at this one. This one looks nice.
And I said,
no, it's got to be Socrates. And the whole time we were in there, Sheila and I were the only ones in there. And finally she finds this really nice head of Socrates.
flotta höttja och
skakades. And she puts it down on the table and she says, why does it have to be Socrates?
Och hon sätter det på disken och säger, kui mata äntligen vara Socrates?
And I told her, I said, I'm glad you asked.
Jag säger, jag är glad för att du spurt.
I said, do you know that this man was walking right out there?
2400
years ago he walked. And I said, this guy was a thinker. And one day this man said, it may be that a holy God can forgive sin, but I don't know how. And I said, do you know what that means? And the two of them stood there like this. I said, Socrates is thinking this. If God is holy, then holiness can only accept holiness. If God is absolutely righteous, then he can only accept absolutely righteous. If God is absolutely perfect, he can only accept absolute perfection. Then I asked them, I said, if that's true, does that give you a problem? And the two of them stood there like this. I said, why does it give you a problem? And you know what she said? She says, because I'm a sinner. I couldn't believe she'd said that. I'm a sinner. I said, it gives me a problem too. I'm a sinner too.
She
says, we're all sinners. I said, you're absolutely
right.
God is holy and man is a sinner. God cannot accept us. What can we do about it? And the two of them stood there like this. I said, there's nothing we can do about it. There's absolutely nothing we can do about
it.
And the two of them stood there like this. They couldn't believe what they just heard. And it got real quiet in the shop. And I'll tell you what happened. All of a sudden, One of these ladies. She went like this. She said, I can't believe it. She says, that's why Jesus had to die. She says, I see it. She said, in all my years of going to church, I heard about Jesus dying. I never knew why he had to die. Oh, she says, I got goosebumps.
Oh, it's a big gossehold.
You call it goosebumps?
Gossehold, yeah.
Chicken skin? She says, I've got goosebumps.
I think, yeah, gossehold.
And that. You should have seen the look on the eyes of these two girls in that little shop. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts. And I'm telling you, that night in that shop, God again said, let there be light. And there was light. You know why Jesus had to die? Because God's a holy God. He can't accept me as a sinner. He knows that I need a holiness. I need a righteousness that I could never come up with myself. That I need a holiness that will permit me to stand before a holy God. And guess what God did? He actually provided his own holiness as a free gift for us, that I might stand before him as absolutely holy. But the holiness is not mine. It's in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the holiness of Christ. We will never forget what happened in that little shop
there.
They received the word with gladness. And Sheila and I stepped out of the shop.
Sheila,
it was about 11 o'clock at night. It was closing time. And we stepped out in the street. And we were standing right underneath Mars Hill. I said to Sheila, I said, look at that.
You see, Sheila, hick me in here.
2,000 years ago, Paul, the apostle stood right there,
Paulus här uppe,
was preaching the same message. And God gave us the opportunity to share that with two Athenian women
2,000
years
later.
Because they also needed a righteousness that they could never come up with themselves. I would like to just mention one verse of Scripture. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21 says this. He who knew no sin, talking about the Lord Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So let me ask you today, my dear friend, what righteousness are you standing in today? I'll tell you, there's nothing like standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He provides that freely for us. God says, here's my gift. You could never do it. I did it. And he's seeking, he's looking for us. He's provided everything that we need to come into a right standing with him. It's a free gift. His righteousness. And I'm enjoying that every day. Are you enjoying that? Because it's has nothing to do with me. It's all about him. And all about what he did. And guess what? We not only are allowed into this life here on this earth, but we're talking about an enjoyment that is out of this world forever and forever and forever. Do you know him? He's seeking you. He's provided for you. It's a free gift. You can just simply receive it. Just trust him. We can't do it. He did it all.